but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
We are broadcasting today from Killer Burger in West Lynn. I want you to stop by the Cascade Summit Shopping Center, or as Jackson Shellstad called it in an interview that you're going to hear coming up, he called it the Safeway Shopping Center. He knows because as a middle schooler, he was running around hanging out at Starbucks and asking him for a cup of ice and a glass of water. You'll hear that interview with Jackson Shellstad coming up at 4 o'clock. Before that, we've got Eric Prisbell. He is the senior college business reporter at On3. He is a friend of this show. I've known him for years. And one of the things that Prisbell does better than anybody is he examines the bracket. And he's joining us now. Steven, punch him on up. Eric Prisbell joining us. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, John. How are you?
I'm well. Good to hear your voice. How many brackets do you have filled out? Or what do you do these days?
John, I only do one. I'm only doing one. I mean, each of my kids has their own. But I'm not like one of these guys who fills out 25 and hopes for the best here. You know, I believe in, I got all these notes in front of me. I got the KenPom ratings up. I got a notebook filled with chicken scratch. Like, I was back taking notes in college, but truth is, I didn't take many notes in college. So here we are. I mean, I'm fired up with one bracket.
You're making it.
One shining moment.
Yeah, you're making up for it now. All right, so help us out. I want to go kind of just kind of meander through the bracket and see what you think. And over the years, you have given us some beauties. You gave us Butler. You gave us St. Joseph's. You gave us George Mason. You've just killed it over the years, calling these upsets and teams to watch. And so I just kind of want to meander through the bracket. And, you know, maybe we can start in the East and, you know, where UConn is a one seed. And just kind of tell us what you see in that bracket.
You know, you're right. I've had a lot of success over the years with this, including last year, picking UConn to win the title as a number four seed in the East. And look, they didn't do UConn any favors. They're the top overall seed. But look who's in this region. You got the Big 12 conference tournament champion, the Big 10 tournament champion, the SEC tournament champion. And they're going to have to play perhaps two Final Four teams from a year ago, UConn would, to get to the Elite Eight. Overall, you know, I'm looking at Auburn. You know, I have this, like, four-way test through the KenPom ratings that I use based on historical trends. I'm not going to get too deep in the weeds with it. But it like, predicts, like, 18 of the past 20 national champions. And so I ran that today, and it gave me three teams that could win the national title. And they were Houston, Purdue, and Auburn. Hmm. And so I think Auburn's scary as heck. I really do. It's kind of feast or famine with Bruce Pearl's team. But if they're capable of winning a national championship. And that's why I think that Sweet 16 matchup with UConn will be the best Sweet 16 matchup this tournament. In the terms of the first round, and this is, you know, popular in your region, the Washington State-Drake matchup is an absolute coin flip in my view. And you know, I kind of keep going back and forth with it because Washington State has so much size. I think they're the second tallest team in the country, and Drake really lacks size. But, you know, I look at Tucker DeVries on Drake, and it's a tight one, but I think they're going to pull it out. And I know you're picking Washington State, but I have Drake as – I got more upsets coming, but I got Drake as my only upset in the first round in the East.
Drake, a 10 over the 7 seed Washington, Kyle Smith and Washington State. I've wondered about Kyle Smith. I've wondered where his focus is because I think he's going to end up getting offers but I think he's a hell of a coach. And you're right, that is such a it's a matchup of a really small team against a big team. I like Washington State there, but we'll see what happens. Let's bounce over to the South bracket, where Houston is the one seed. We've got Marquette as the two seed. Tell us what you saw in the South.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at, and I'm not the only one, James Madison over Wisconsin. And first off, these first-round matchups, I can't remember a year. There may have been one, but I can't remember a year with so many compelling, competitive first-round matchups, at least on paper. Mm. And we'll see how it plays out the next 2 days. But James Madison is an excellent team. They're an older, veteran team, which you like to see from a mid-major that could possibly pull an upset. Wisconsin has finally gotten hot, and you know they're getting hot from three-point range, which is not the expertise of this Badgers team. But JMU defends the three well. So I got that as a 12-5 upset. Looking down here, I got Florida losing the first round to Boise State or Colorado. I think I like Boise State in that matchup tonight. But Florida's got some injury issues, so I have the winner of that game, you know, marching on to face Marquette.
Do you have Houston kind of coming out of that South region? If so, who are they playing, you know, to get to the Final Four?
Yeah, I don't want to be a spoiler for my own picks yet, but yes, I do. I've liked Houston all year. I've watched them a ton, and they play a physicality and a tenacity that I've rarely seen. Now, they were better a month ago, and Kelvin Sampson has said just that. They've got injury issues in the front court, so that makes them a little bit thin. And we all took notice of the final score in the Big 12 tournament final against Iowa State, and a lot of people jumped off the bandwagon. I'm not going to do it. I love Jamal Shedd. The entire team is completely interested in Sampson's, you know, defense first, rebounding, gritty, tough, you know, that style of play. Do they have enough offense? Because that they could go blank from that point of view from time to time. I think they do. And, you know, I have Kentucky meeting them in the Final Eight with Houston advancing to the Final Four. I love Marquette, but, you know, Tyler Kolek, the great point guard for Marquette, it is a big question mark, his injury status and just whether he will be close to 100%. Kentucky's, they may be the best offensive team in the country. Now, their defense ranks, 100 or so nationally. But, you know, they got enough stars offensively, I think, to advance in this bracket and make for a really compelling matchup with Houston in the finals in Dallas, and I'll be at that one.
Bracketologist and senior college business reporter Eric Prisbell with us from On3 Sports. Let's bounce to the West, where North Carolina, UNC is the one seed. Arizona is the two seed. Tell me what to do with Arizona, because I love them and then I hate them. Depends which night.
Yeah, I've said the exact same words, John, over the last week or two. You know, going back 3 weeks, I was going to pick Arizona to win a national title. And I was talking to Jay Billis for a couple stories, and I asked him about the Wildcats. And he said they're absolutely legit. They could win the whole thing. That was before they lost to, I believe, USC, and then the stumble in the conference tournament as well. I'm not picking them to win a national title, but I am going to have them come out of this region. I like North Carolina, but I don't love them. The ACC is weak. And I think that loss to NC State in the ACC final, you know, was alarming enough for me to jump off that bandwagon for the Tar Heels. But I think you have some great first round matchups in this region. You know, St. Mary's, Grand Canyon, that could go either way. I'm going to stick with St. Mary's. Aiden Mahady is a great combo guard, a little erratic, but he could really get hot if he's shooting well from 3-point range. And so I have St. Mary's winning that one against Grand Canyon. In the 4-13 matchup, Alabama has, you know, a great offensive team, but they're ranked like 345th in scoring defense. And then you got a Charleston team who's really well coached with Pat Kelsey. They average 82 points a game. So, you know, I could see Alabama scoring 95 points, but I think they're going to give up like 96, 97. So I'm picking Charleston as a 13 there. And then one that I have pretty good conviction about, New Mexico, beating Clemson. Again, Clemson from a weaker ACC, New Mexico, you know, in the Mountain West. And I'll tell you, I mean, the Mountain West, they got a lot of teams in the tournament, but almost consistently those teams were underseeded. And I think that's going to be proven out as we go along in this March Madness. But Richard Pitino, he's got Jamal Mashburn Jr., he's got Eddie House's son. This is a fun team to watch, well coached, and they're better than that number 11 seed indicates. So I have New Mexico beating Clemson there in the first round.
What do you think happened with the Mountain West teams? What did the committee see or not like?
It's a great question. Talking to some, we were kind of half joking that, you know, they assessed all the Mountain West teams, and the only one that kind of was seeded accurately was San Diego State. Like, some of them just superficially said, hey, we remember that Aztecs team from last year getting to the finals, so we're going to give them credit for that, but devalue the other teams. I don't understand it. I mean, I was kind of glued to the Mountain West Conference tournament. It was really competitive. It's a deep league. There's a lot of formidable teams there. And, you know, so I wasn't surprised at all with last night's result, you know, with Colorado State and Virginia. Just watch Virginia the last couple weeks, and just from the eye test, they were not a very good team, and they're hard to watch offensively. And Colorado State was a team that was significantly better than what their seed, you know, indicated. So I don't know the reasoning for it, but that was one where clearly they did not value what the Mountain West teams did all season long, and those teams were misseeded.
In the Midwest, Purdue is the one. Tennessee is the two. Oregon's in that bracket against South Carolina. What jumped out at you there?
A lot here. I think this bracket could kind of break wide open. And you start with that foursome, Gonzaga, McNeese State, Kansas, and Stanford. I have McNeese State beating Gonzaga, and I'll start there. But Gonzaga, super hot now. They got their season going the right way. Mark Few did, you know, after some uncertainty earlier in the year. So they're hot. And I think they benefited from a seed standpoint. I was very surprised they got a five. I like them a lot, but I thought they were going to be a seven, perhaps even an eight. But they got a tough matchup. McNeese State, you know, won, what, 30-some games. Will Wade, regardless of what you think of him ethically, he's a good coach. And they have guys who have played in power conferences before. So I have been McNeese State beating Gonzaga. And then Kansas-Samford, you know, I know it's a trendy pick now, but I'm going to be on board with it and go with Samford here. Samford, you know, relies on its bench for like 45% of the game time minutes. They're one of the deeper teams in the tournament. Kansas has no bench. They have none. And then with Kevin McCullough out for this game, you know, their best player, and the fact that they're playing in Salt Lake City with the altitude, and the pace of the game will speed up. Samford pushes that tempo. They're going to spread them out, shoot threes. You know, I feel pretty strongly that Samford is going to knock out Bill Self's team here. You know, setting up a McNeese State-Samford second-round matchup, which is interesting. And then, you know, in your neck of the woods, obviously, Oregon, South Carolina. I got so much respect for South Carolina coach Lamont Paris. I kind of leaned on him when he was a top assistant for Bo Ryan during the 2015 Final Four run. He was my go-to assistant coach to go to talk with. And he's doing a great job there. But the bottom line is Dana Altman does not lose first-round games. And you give them several days to prepare, and you consider how they're playing right now, not earlier in the season, and then you consider how Dante's playing as well and what he did against Colorado. It'd be very, very difficult to go against the Oregon Ducks in this game. I mean, this was a season, and we've talked about this, where, you know, I was kind of reading between the lines with what Dana Altman was saying to you specifically, and wondering if retirement was soon on the horizon, you know, for a great coach. You know, his coaching chops, they're unassailable. But it's great to see him turn this around, get hot at the right time, and he is a coach, there's no question, that nobody wants to see on the other bench against them in the NCAA tournament, because he's really great at what he does.
In each of the four regions, can you give me your Final Four participant. Who's in your Final Four?
Yes, I have UConn going to the Final Four out of the East. You know, whether this will be a UConn coronation, you know, we'll have to see. They do not have an easy road. I have Arizona coming out of the West. You know, a bit of a mystery team, but I'm thinking Tommy Lloyd will figure this out. In the South, I have Houston, who need to reset after the Big 12 final. And in the Midwest, I have Creighton. And I've liked Creighton all season. And they're a really good offensive team, obviously well-coached. They came within, a hair from getting to the Final Four last year. And I'm not crazy about Tennessee. I think Purdue has a ceiling. You know, I think they'll get further than they did the last couple of years. But I think they do have a ceiling, and I have Creighton going to the Final Four out of the Midwest.
And who is your national champion?
I'm going with Houston, and I've liked them all season. And, you know, there's a temptation to jump off the bandwagon now, but I think they're going to get it reset after that crushing loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 final. I got Houston over UConn, which I think would be a tremendous national championship game. And it would only be rivaled by the women's national title game, which might surpass it in viewership this year.
Yeah, give me an idea, because you wrote that for On3 Sports. You think the women's tournament has a chance to have higher ratings, more interest, and it's not just Caitlin Clark, but that's part of it.
Yes, it is. Absolutely, John. I talked with Neil Pilson, who was the CBS Sports president in the 80s and 90s, as the men's tournament rose in popularity. And I talked with John Posner, you know, longtime executive at ESPN. And John Posner told me, you know, clearly that if Caitlin Clark is in the final, you know, specifically against South Carolina, that game's on ABC. And that could at least match the men's national title game, which will be broadcast on TBS. And he said, you know, if the ABC game was not in the middle of the afternoon, if that was also prime time, it could eclipse it. So I think what we got here is like a perfect storm. If all things break right for the women's national title game to at least match or maybe eclipse by a little bit the viewership, you know, for the men's game. Is that sustainable? You know, Caitlin Clark is a phenomenal. You know, she's going on to the WNBA, but the interest in the women's game is there. It's a little bit cyclical on the men's side. You know, there's not a lot of stars that we recognize now, but they're going to be coming from the high school ranks. But this year, clearly, the brighter stars and the better storylines are on the women's side in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, and I think, you know, like, I had mixed feelings when I saw that ESPN was sending Holly Rowe out to kind of shadow Caitlin Clark throughout the tournament, because I thought, gosh, you know, does that mean they're ignoring South Carolina? Does that mean they're ignoring LSU and Cameron Brink at Stanford? And then I started going, like, you know, I started nodding my head at what you wrote, because I was like, I know all those stories. Why do I know those stories? And in the past, I haven't been that tuned into the women's tournament.
Right, right. I was down in New Orleans with my wife, two weekends ago for the SEC, and we were there just having fun, but we were in a dive bar watching, which you and I have been in quite a few times, but that's a different matter. But we were watching, you know, we were glued to the SEC women's championship there, and there were a lot of LSU fans around, and that could have been the NBA Finals, given the atmosphere, and that's when it dawned on me, like, they've got all the juice this March. And will it play out like that? You know, I mean, is somebody going to get knocked out early? Are the next 4 days on the men's side going to be just incredible and captivating? Perhaps. But going into this tournament, you know, this is truly unique, where you have the face of college basketball, all college basketball, being a female player, Caitlin Clark, a once-in-a-generation talent. But in addition to that, we have storylines with LSU and an undefeated South Carolina team. So you want to see those matchups, and I sure hope we get them later in the tournament.
Eric Prisbell, On3 Sports, senior college sports business reporter. Eric, you know, when we look at the bracket, every year we look at upsets, but give me a team that maybe you considered as a bracket buster that could come, you know, make an Elite Eight, make a Final Four, and really shock everybody. Not holding your opinion to this, but who's interesting or who comes to mind that could be a 5 seed or maybe even lower?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I'm looking at St. Mary's. I think this is one of the best teams Randy Bennett has had there, and he's had quite a few. And they're very connected. They are the nation's leading team in rebounding margin. They out-rebound opponents plus 12 each game, and that's significant. And I think North Carolina is vulnerable as a one seed. Arizona is a mixed bag. We don't know what we're getting there. As a three seed, Baylor's good, but it's not a great Baylor team. And the four seed Alabama, they can't play defense, or they don't play defense. So if St. Mary's is plays as connected as they have appeared, you know, especially recently, they got off to a rough start early in the year. I think they could get to the Elite Eight or possibly even the Final Four. And then, like, I keep going back on Auburn, and it's feast or famine. But, you know, that's a smart pick if you picked Auburn to win a national title. I could see it. I can envision it. And I know Bruce Pearl, and he's been around a long time, but he believes that this crew, this team, you know, has what it takes to win the whole thing. And they're not always going to feel that way or say that. You know, so that's a team that is, you know, they're really high in the KenPom ratings, both offensively and defensively. And there's just not a lot of teams that have those sorts of metrics at this stage in the year. And I put a lot of value into that.
Eric, you're the best. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you helping our listeners fill out their brackets. Every year you give us upsets. Just to recap, you know, you like Samford, you like McNeese State. Obviously have given us a team like St. Mary's that could rattle around the bracket, and just appreciate your expertise and your friendship, my friend. Thank you for joining us.
Same here, John. Always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Eric Prisbell, there he is on 3 Sports. He gave you George Mason in the Final Four. He gave you the story of St. Joseph's before we knew it was a story. Every year he gives us upsets. You heard his picks. If you missed this, you want to share it with friends, grab the podcast. Make sure that you share that. Send it to a friend who's filling out a bracket tonight. We podcast this stuff in real time, so you get that interview here available wherever you get the BFT podcast. I want you to leave it here. Our big splash is coming up. We're broadcasting today from Killer Burger in West Lynn. In the second hour, we're going to give away 2 pairs of Mariners tickets. That's right, in the 4 o'clock hour, I'll tell you how to win them, but you got to be present to get them. You got the bald-faced truth.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.